We'd like to welcome everybody back inside the Holman Studio in Southwest Chicago, where the Hamlin Avenue Boys record.
One you favor more, or you, I don't know if the word like is a little more, than the other one. I think in every, there's always a kid, right? So out of your children, can you honestly say, and don't give me any names or whatever, but there is, you can honestly say that there's one you probably like a little more than the other ones. Did I say you were my favorite one?
Did I say?
You know, I see where you're going, and I could see where almost everybody would have to say yes to that to some degree. But I think it's more a matter out of the interesting qualities that are in each one are different, and that makes them the one that you like more in that sense.
No, I'm not going to accept that. No.
You're not going to accept
something
that.
Else.
Well, I could always default to women and children and choose my daughter.
Yeah, see, I couldn't. I have one. That, yeah. If I had to pick, I don't know.
Would it be the same one that your wife picks?
No.
Wow.
I think it'd be different. But you couldn't, you wouldn't know to this day who it is. I treat them all like crap, so I'm equal with that.
You treat them all like crap.
I don't want him to feel special, you know, like I'm treating him better. Although, man, there's sibling rivalry. But there was, one didn't want to outdo the other. There was a period of that, whether it be in sports or whatever. I think the one that I would be the one who's probably closest to some things the way I think.
Mm.
Subconsciously, I'm not sure.
Like I say, they're the challenges that we faced with
one,
all three was different.
Each one's different. They all have a quality that you love. Who's better than the other? I don't know. That would be awful.
Yeah, it's awful, like, how could you even pick that?
Yeah. Three of my sons always tell my wife who her favorite is. They know. I think we all know who her favorite is. That's what they say. Yeah. I don't know if any of them want to be my favorite.
Did you ever play in your adult life a consistent game of poker?
This is a song about a card game.
I don't know even know how to play poker.
I mean, I know very little. I've never
played. You
and I used to go to people's houses and play.
Yeah, but they used to sit on your front stoop. I don't know what guys were there at the time, and they'd play poker. And I was so jealous I didn't know how to play poker. I felt so bad. I have no idea. I have no idea how to play poker.
We played, like, hearts and other games with...
We did at Ann's.
And with your brothers.
Poker things.
Yeah.
And I would... But mainly with Brian, I'd play euchre.
Euchre, yeah.
That was the only thing. But poker, I don't even know how to play. And the Hold'em stuff?
Hold'em, man.
You know. Now, my one son won money. He was playing a roulette table, I was telling him, you know. Only because when we would go to Vegas for that, all those, you know, there was that one casino which was sort of off the road, you know, and they would teach you how to play. And I went with a guy who was a frequent, where he would be comped all this. So, you know, I hung around with him. Well, he knew about these out-of-the-way places you could bet for, like, you know, 50 cents. You're not laying down money. And he taught me pretty much how to play roulette. I forgot a lot about now. I remember the corners and the color. You know, like, to make money. You're not going to make big money. Your odds of hitting number are, like, 37 to 1. you lay the four corners, it's like 8-1. You know, I mean, it goes down. You're not making big money at the time, but, you know, he says, well, you do it to, just to do it, you know. And if you, you know, if you do it enough, you're going to make some money, you know. But he goes, just, and we, I, you know, I won a couple dollars, but it wasted the time, you know. Better than standing in front of the slot machines and just, yeah.
Ready to go to the buffet.
Playing card game. Well, no, we never, no, she'd never eat a buffet.
Really?
Never.
Really?
Nope.
Wow.
I don't care how fancy.
Anti-buffet.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Have you ever heard of that? First of all, let me back up. Of course you have. You know that feeling that athletes talk about, being in the zone?
BL in the building. Oh, I'm in the zone, man. Yeah.
You've heard of that term, haven't you? Come on, you're just saying that. You're giving me shit. Okay. So, have you ever experienced that?
Felt yourself in the zone?
Without it being an athletic thing.
Oh, well, sometimes at work, yeah, you get that. Like, everything's going right, man. It's like I woke up today and, wow, the whole day's going, you know.
And you have... You have a command of everything.
Yeah, you know, and just everything went right, and it's like the way it should be, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that would be one thing at work.
That was a good example, because I think I felt that too.
Yeah, you know, you just happen to do everything right.
Okay, so as...
Now, at home, though, have you ever felt like...
In a zone?
Maybe you did some gardening or made a tape, or while you were recording, when you were done, it's like, you know, you were just so intense, and it just accomplished it, and... Yeah. It's exactly the way you want it.
Or the outcome I'm happy with. I don't even know if it's the way I want it.
Right.
I'm happy with the outcome.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I feel very blessed to experience that somewhat regularly.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't gift myself enough of those. Mm-hmm. We could probably all do that.
True.
Is give yourself more opportunities to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good question. Yeah, I have felt that.
Yeah.
In fact, the last time I felt that, on some, let's call it recording-ish work, was two circumstances come to mind. One was this video I recently did for our nephew who built my wife's office.
Mm-hmm.
I did one for his company. Over the 8 weeks that they were building, I took stills and videos with my iPhone, and I put it together in a video, soundtracked it, wrote a script, and did a voiceover for it. And I felt really enjoying that process. I didn't even think about, well, how long is this going to take me to do this part? I didn't even think about that. I just did it. When it came time to put it all together, it was building all along.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It was a very nice zone experience.
Now, have you ever, whether it be sports or whatever, but watching your child doing something and all of a sudden you say, you know what? I think they're in the zone, or the way they're doing it.
I think
mind.
I've observed that too.
Yeah.
Our daughter played volleyball and she was really very good. You could tell the difference. Sometimes she was effortless,
mm-hmm.
and it was with ease, and then other times not so much.
Yeah.
And I think the boys in their football years, I think we saw that too.
Yeah.
Sometimes they were in a zone, the whole team was in a zone, and they were contributing in a zone in some way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I observed our kids doing that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Now you wonder if they've felt that.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would think you would.
Yeah.
When you know things are going right, I think you would feel that, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, I think the language is very normal to say things going right. I've started to kind of wonder if maybe it wouldn't be a little bit more helpful to say things going well, or
should.
In a way that is enjoyable, because right kind of suggests that there is only one way.
Well, it would be the way you have it pictured in your mind.
Okay, that's where I was going next.
I knew that. That's
athletes,
why I threw that in there.
Thank you.
We have that rapport.
You're right.
Yep.
I'm smelling you.
Yes.
So the idea of picturing it before it happens. Did you experience that in some way, even in the business world or wherever, to where you had kind of a little mini vision of how you thought it might unfold and would be best to unfold? And then it did unfold that way because you were able to see it all happen before it happened.
Yeah. Probably when I opened up my business, I knew what direction I wanted to set it in. I knew what the theme was. I knew how I wanted it laid out. I knew. So even before I started, I already had a plan out in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, well, did it go like that? No, but I had it planned out like that.
Well, you start with something.
Right. And I think most people do when you have that because, you know, this is the way I'm going to, in your mind, this is the way I am going to succeed if I follow this plan.
Right.
So many times I see it, they go in and they're there for the first month and they didn't anticipate the next month, you know? I always plan for like the year. I guess because of all the past business, you know, I'm looking 6 months down the road. And
now back when you were working, that would be normal protocol.
Right, and I think that's what helped me with, you know, when
so
you start
today,
your own.
Do you do that today?
I have things planned probably a year in advance of
really?
Things I want to do or
that's
whatever.
Very yeah. cool. I'm very impressed with that.
I don't know if I'll ever achieve all of it. I very rarely do, but that I just add on then to the next year.
Yeah, the carryover list.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we still have, you know, there's still things I want to, you know. I think you should want to do things. There's still things you want to do. When you don't, that's when you got to worry about it. You sit there for hours working on a hand.
Yeah.
That I just couldn't imagine that.
Yeah.
You know? That's intense stuff. Then I can understand why artists are
crazy.
Yeah. You know, most of them are weird or really intense.
You know, hard drinking crazies.
Yeah. I mean, when you're thinking, you know, just to get a vein running right down the hand, you know, he'd rip the paper. Oh, I didn't do it, you know, or erase it. Or just, it's like, it's good enough. You know, looks good to me. Not good to me. But then I never had any artistic talent at all.
Well, let me just say, let's define artistic, because if you look at it in the single medium of painting, of course not. I
well,
didn't
painting,
either.
No. Well, like this is art.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's absolutely.
I should have been specific.
But even with that, and I'm going to expand the definition of art from your comment, it seems to me that some of the things that you did in your years of what I call business study that was artistic in the way that you, Vince, approached challenges, situations, objectives, or goals. The way you approached it was unique to you, which is just as artistic on some level.
Yeah, I guess. In a
way. We don't hang it in a museum.
True.
So in the traditional sense, no, but I mean, most of us don't have the traditional talents.
Yeah.
Your brother is a really good artist.
Don't
even
you wish
today,
you had a talent though. I would have wanted a musical talent.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah,
yeah, we talked about that.
God screwed me on that one, man. I would have made it been a great musician.
You're gonna have to take that up with him then.
Yeah, when I see him.
Speaking of that, I've talked to my dad more than once. I have these humorous thoughts that come to me about the line waiting to get into heaven or be the evaluation line. St. Peter has a lot of work up there.
Oh yeah.
You know, every now and then, when my dad and I will talk politics, a lot of times we're similar, but a lot of times we're not, and it don't matter. But the bottom line is, you know, when he says something, I'll say, well, listen, you're going to have to get in the right line then when you get up there in front of St. Peter then. You need to get in the line with all the other people like that, because St. Peter's going to want to separate everybody, and he kind of laughs, you know. Or I'll say, that's going in your file, all that stuff. You
but
know?
See, you're assuming that what he's doing is wrong.
Well, less wrong and more.
Oh, less
not
wrong
my,
than what
not
you
what,
think.
Not
yeah.
what I think.
Well, exactly, yeah. What if you find out you're in the wrong line?
I'll have to get in that line.
Yeah, and you will.
A while back, I ran across the last words of a few Roman emperors.
Take them all.
the last words of a few Roman emperors. You might even be already knowing what your last words are going to be. I don't know that you can script that, because sometimes you could have the best script. You know, you have no idea. But in regardless, they used to record whatever the emperor said, unless he ordered them, I'm about to say, do not write this down, and don't ever write it down. Then it's like, you know, the bubble of silence.
Right.
Okay, now you can start writing again. You know, it's the 10-minute gap in the Watergate tape.
Right. I was just going to say that, yeah.
See? There you go.
I'm telling you.
Okay, so Roman emperors were recorded all the way through their death experience, and their last words were always recorded. Augustus was the first of the Roman emperors, also known as Octavian. He was the first in a long line of Roman emperors, credited with solidifying the empire and doing a lot of actually good things. He said, have I played my part well in the farce of life?
He's more worried about his...
his comeuppance?
His history, you know, his...
lineage?
Yes. That's almost like an egotistical thing.
That was fun. Let me move on to the next one.
Oh, we're moving on?
Yeah.
I liked Octavian.
Yeah, I did too. Tiberius was another one, and we've heard of him before.
Yeah, I like the river.
Here's what his last words were. You leave the setting to court the rising sun.
So that's just pretty much you leaving this earth to experience the afterlife.
I think that's pretty good, Vince.
Right?
Okay, Claudius, here was another emperor. Oh dear, I've made a mess of it.
Yeah, that could be said today, I'm sure, from a lot of people.
Boy, if you get to the end and that's your last words, you fucked up.
Wouldn't that be
up?
Sad that you just... I mean, the whole life is just...
Oh,
like,
dear,
like
I've
wasted.
Made a mess of it.
Yeah. Not only did you ruin your life, I mean, it could be you ruined a lot of lives.
He was considered the most indulgent of all the Roman emperors, more than even Caligula. He said, oh, what an artist dies in me. Huh. Now, that's a really different from the last one where it was about, oh, dear, I've made a mess of it.
But isn't that the same? I mean, he's sort of ego, right?
Yeah, but at least the other guy
like
had
he
to...
worried about himself, right?
Yeah, but at least the other guy was feeling kind of a little remorse over it.
Yeah. Now, who was that last one? That was Nero, huh?
Yeah. So, another Roman emperor called Galba, G-A-L-B-A, Galba. Galba said, what are you doing, comrades? I am yours and you are mine and we are all together.
Wait, what? These were things he's supposed to say in his deathbed?
Yeah.
That doesn't even... What the hell does that mean? Read it again.
What are you doing, comrades? I am yours and you are mine and we are all together. I think he was seeing the other side already and seeing maybe soldiers he knew, people he knew, cousins,
they
old
do
girlfriends.
Say that some people you go into that hypnosis or
it's
whatever.
It's the reunion in the sky,
yeah. And that your brain is still functioning like an hour or two after, right? Is that something?
It's about 53 minutes. The Roman Emperor Vespasian. Oh dear, I think I'm becoming a god.
Oh yeah, I've said that.
I think, that would be a good one for you.
Yeah. Now, I wonder if he means that in a bad sense or a good sense. Like, oh, now I'm becoming a god? I mean, some of these emperors, weren't they like children when they started, right? There were instances of that.
And of course, Caesar, his last words were, you too, Bruce?
Which nobody knows what that means.
Everybody thought it was, you know, Brutus.
But it's Bruce.
Yeah. It was Bruce, yeah.
That's a correct... Yes.
The correct translation.
Absolutely.
That was great.
Et tu, Bruce.
What?
I'm sweating like a whore in church. It is hotter than two hamsters screwing in a wolf sock. It is hotter than a pontoon propeller.
Dixieland, drove a big RV.
Texas sun.
You know, you spent time in Texas and you accomplished three of your four residences, as you were talking about. And you may even get to that fourth one before all is said and done. And then you're living in different parts of the country. You learn about things that are said and the way things are said in your time there. Texas being special in terms of things like bless your heart. You probably remember that. That to me was always Texas. I never really heard that till I got down there.
Right.
It's probably the most talked about Southern saying. It's widely used both for humor and with sincerity. Sometimes it's a statement of genuine consolation. If something horrible happens and a Southerner doesn't know what to say, bless their heart is just a nice way to respond that keeps it reasonable and positive. You could also be on the receiving end of a little bit more biting bless your heart. And I could see that too.
What do you mean by biting?
Like, so let's just say you and I are in a business meeting and you're wanting some activity or action out of me that I don't want to do, either as my supervisor or my customer or whatever, you might start to be biting in your commentary, which would just start us down the road of, you know, not feeling good about the engagement here, you know?
Right.
Another thing that would come up maybe as a saying, especially from the South, is I reckon. I don't use that. I think that's pretty much faded away.
Yes.
I do use y'all, and I do use the fixin'. I love those. I like in the fall. Happy fall, y'all.
We have one of those
fixin'
fall truck we hang up that it says that in the fall.
Sometimes it's fun to purposely inject fixin' too. I'm fixin' to go do this. Yonder, I don't use that.
Yonder, no.
That's kind of stopped. There was a time I did use yonder somewhat. I used to use, if I had my druthers, because I remember that growing up. Never really knew what druthers were, but I knew if I had my druthers.
Right, yeah, yes. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Now, picking and grinning, I was not a banjo or a guitar player growing up.
Yeah, that's just music.
Grinning, yes. Picking, no. Other than my nose.
Right.
That was about it.
Well, now I notice, what was it, about the last year, it's thank you so much. It's just not thank you. It's thank you so much.
Is that the same as saying thank you just the right amount?
I don't know, but I notice, especially my sons and the girls now, it's always thank you so much. Don't you hear a lot? They don't just say thank you anymore. It's thank you so much.
Came across this story involving first ladies who were a little out of the ordinary.
Who's that lady? Who's that lady? Beautiful lady, lady. You.
Who's that lady?
Lovely lady.
Who's that lady?
Real fine lady.
Who's that lady?
Hear me calling out to you, cause that's all that I can do. Your eyes tell me to pursue, but you say look, yeah.
First ladies, Melania Trump to Laura Bush. Actually, I forgot Michelle Obama in between there, excuse me. But anyway, they're all individuals and certainly have their own personality. But as far as some that might have stepped way beyond that and made a mark that was a little bit more aggressive, I wasn't aware of some of these and I wanted to see if you were. There was a President Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, Julia, was the Kardashian of her day. She wasn't his first wife or first lady. But when her predecessor died, she married into the job she decided she was going to use to make herself famous. In her heart, she was a Kardashian before even they existed. So she wanted to be famous, and she knew a way to do that was to marry into something like a presidency.
Oh, okay.
Warren G. Harding's wife, Florence, was into quacks or unusual occult beliefs. If you remember, Ronald and Nancy Reagan were big astrological people. So there's been some of that sprinkled.
There's quite a few of those.
Yeah, there's been sprinklings.
They were into that, yes.
Dolly Madison was a party animal. There's a famous cake that's been out as a snack cake for
right
several generations called mm-hmm. the Dolly Madison.
She was a party animal in her time?
Yes. Nancy Reagan actually brought astrology to the forefront because they would schedule meetings with world leaders based on
right.
the shiftingness of the moon.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, there might be something about that. There were a lot of first ladies that were really dominant in their husband's decision-making.
Eleanor Roosevelt, you mean?
And Polk? I guess she was.
Really? Yes. Well, I didn't know you were a studier of the Polks.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I see.
I think there's three or four others that I don't recall at the moment, but very dominant.
Eleanor Roosevelt was considered controversial because she did not hold her tongue.
Uh-uh.
I think that was really a positive thing for her husband as far as his credibility,
uh-huh.
because he let her wink, wink, which he didn't do.
Well,
she let herself, but it came across as, I'm progressive.
Right, with female my wife. Friends.
Right.
And he had his girlfriend anyway. So she had, or as we call them, AIDS.
Mary Todd AIDS. Lincoln was big into spiritualism, shamanism from
weird.
The Indians.
Yeah. She had been into depression and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
I think, didn't she had a child that died, right, in birth?
That's right. Bess Truman refused to use what we would call dry cleaners or laundries in Washington, D.C. She felt as though they were all political connections that were taking manna from the rest of the...
So where would she send her?
She would send her laundry to Virginia, which was the neighboring, state.
Wow.
Betty Ford was a very progressive woman. Obviously, she had challenges with drinking, which mm-hmm. she acknowledged and helped pave the way for many. She also was very into being herself, much probably to the dismay of maybe White House staff or some of the press. At times, she spoke in radical terms about using marijuana, premarital sex, and she wasn't shy about talking about anything.
I remember her being in the news quite a bit.
While it sounds a lot like she might have been a real free spirit, it might have come down to the self-medicating she was doing with alcohol and pills that mm-hmm. contributed to this. She sought treatment and will be forever even more famous for setting up an area and a place where people could actually get help.
There are quite a few presidents had taking advantage of their medical doctor's experience, through getting drugs and so forth.
For all the times we think things are bad and extreme on so many levels, science in its study has come up with the year they feel was the worst year to be alive as a human. And there's never been one more terrible to be alive in since or before that. Now, your first comment to me should be, well, how do they know that?
Well, how far back are you going?
We're going back at least 2,000 years.
To 3,000. Heaven, really? Okay.
So the year that's the worst is 536. I thought it was 537 myself.
Did you?
Yeah, but 536.
Really? Where did they
come up with that? Endless winter, volcanoes, plague. Science and historians believe it was the worst possible year to be alive on the planet. I thought that was interesting because I missed it by 1 year. And
wait a second.
I was thinking 537.
How would they even know that?
How would they even begin to know that?
They don't. It's all makeup stuff.
So we could say that the worst year in history is 712, right?
I could say it's 455. Through all my studies and all my...
And you do a lot of
explorations
studying.
And archaeological digs, that's 457. I mean, when you get into that point, it's like, how could you even argue that? You can't. You have to take their word for it.
I like it.
He robbed me for everything I own. people heard of him the other day, and guests finally found his way. I was just a step along the road. No more feeling bad. Don't let me catch you looking back. We both made it through the worst year ever. We can feel good about that. John, I never met, helped me to understand my dad by telling me about Sam Stone. He shed his hair, then he couldn't see, but we'll remember everything about a true angel from Montgomery. Turns out we're all just desperate too, robbed of connection and objective truth. This year's a step along the road. Keep it together and please just know. No more feeling bad. Don't let me catch you looking back. We both made it through the worst year ever, so we can feel good about that. Turns out we're all just desperate too, robbed of connection and objective truth. This year's a step along the road. Keep it together and please just know. We both made it through the worst year ever. We can feel good about.
That was interesting.
Oh, you heard that too?
I did. Yes, I heard that too.
We can feel good about that.